Do not fear. You're more valuable than many sparrows. Now let's look at Matthew 6. Verse 24 through, or rather 25 through 34. For this reason I say to you, do not be worried. You know, that's an imperative. So is the do not fear thing. Do you know what that means? It's not a suggestion. It's not a good idea. It is a command. Yeah, it's an imperative. Do not be afraid. And who said it? Oh, yes, I didn't say it, did I? I just wanted to make sure you all knew that. I didn't want any of you to be confused. Do not be worried about your life as to what you will eat or what you will drink, nor for your body as to what you will put on. Is not life more than food and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air, that they do not sow nor reap nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not worth much more than they? And who of you, by being worried, can add a single hour to his life? Now, at this point, I really like the King James Version better. This is a rare statement for me, although I learned most of the Bible verses I know by heart in the King James Version when I was a kid, because it says something to the effect, then who of you, by being worried, can add a cubit to his height? Which, you know, probably is a reasonable translation. But later on, it's important, so think about that. And why are you worried about clothing? Observe how the lilies of the field grow. They do not toil, nor do they spin. Yet I say to you, not even Solomon in all his glory clothed himself like one of these. But if God so clothed the grass of the field, which is alive today and tomorrow is thrown into the furnace, will he not much more clothe you? You of little faith, do not worry. Then saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or with what shall we wear for clothing? For the Gentiles eagerly seek all those things, for your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things. But seek first his kingdom, his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. So do not worry. Do not, what? Worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will take care of itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. You know, people who are labeled with obsessive compulsive disorder, they struggle with all the things that are seen in this passage. They struggle over food and clothing and the future and safety. And the solution in that passage is plain as day too. It's in verse 33. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you as well. The first step to finding a solution for the trouble is seeing it in biblical terms. OCD is a choice between wanting things and life to be in the order we want them versus seeing God's kingdom and seeking God's kingdom and his righteousness, which translates out into having things in the order that God wants them. You know, when I think about OCD and the patients that I've cared for who have fears and compulsions that decide how they're going to live every minute of every day, they aren't really hard to find. They are people with red, dry, cracking hands. They are the folks who are missing hair that they pulled out a strand at a time. You know, we watched with interest and we laughed at Monk, or at least the actor who was making a fortune playing him, as he struggled counting things. The one I liked best was the guy who was doing the chins, and he stopped at 93, and Monk needed him to go to 94, and he kept telling the guy, come on, just do one more, please do just one more. So the guy did three. Yeah, messed him up. We watched that and we thought it was funny as we watched him count and order and follow his rituals and always trying to avoid dirt, and we gasped when he fell into the garbage truck. But we know at the same time that it was funny, it can be a desperate problem. When people like Howard Hughes die and you find out that he hasn't been out of the room in years, the reason why he hadn't been out of the room in years was because he was afraid he would be contaminated. But mostly, when I think about OCD, honestly, guys, I think about my garage door. Ah, yes, the garage door. How many of you saw your garage door go down and close tightly before you left? Anybody here think you might have missed it? What I really want to know, do any of you ever go back and look? Okay, let's be honest. How many of you go back and look? Yeah, kindred spirits here. Yes, that's right, because I do. Yes. In fact, I've left the garage door up all day before, or all weekend, you know, drive off and think it closed, but it didn't, or a leaf goes through the, that's the one I worry about, the leaf goes through the electronic beam and breaks it, and the garage door goes back up while you're driving off. Ah, you know, so you have to be there while that garage door gets all the way to the bottom and stops, and you have to see it. So I have this drill now. I back out, and as soon as my nose and my car clears the garage door, I hit the button, and then I swing around, and I make a nice, long, wide left-hand turn down the driveway and pull way out in the street, and just as I turn right, I can look over my shoulder, and I can see that the garage door is all the way down. Yes, that's exactly right. What's really bad is when my wife sees it go down, and I don't, because she thinks I don't believe her. Yeah, that's right. She'll tell you that we've driven around the block before. Yeah, just once though. I only have to go once. And that's the difference, I guess, between me and the person who has OCD. There are several differences. Oh, yes. Doctors are a little bit this way. And you all should understand that you actually want us to be this way, sort of, don't you? Don't you want me to be a little obsessive and compulsive about your lab test? Yeah, you wouldn't want me to kind of flake off and forget you, would you? No, you want me to make sure that that test is normal, and you want me to call you, right? Or am I wrong? No, I'm entirely correct. Yes, that's exactly right. And most of us got this way because of medical school. Why? Well, because that first day that we forgot to look up those labs that the attending wanted, and after he gets done ripping us one side and down the other, we realize that we have to pay strict attention to detail. And so I've done my own sort of informal survey among physicians, and I find that most of us are checkers. Yeah. And it gets usually worse when we get under pressure. Yeah, because it's hard to keep track of everything all at the same time. I have to admit, it even kind of extends to my choir. I really hate it when they line up on Sunday morning and the top row is over this way a couple people and the middle row is over this way and then the bottom row is this way. You know, I got to get them back straight, even to the point that I make them move and they really don't like it. The difference between my mild obsessive compulsiveness and that of patients who are stricken with obsessive compulsive disorder is that they are entirely disabled by it. I'm not. I only look at the garage door once. I don't have to keep driving around and around the block. I don't have to go back. I don't have to call the neighbors. Nothing like that. I also don't believe that my wife will die if I don't look. Some people who have obsessive compulsive disorder think that someone will die if they don't look. I don't think that Western civilization as we know it will end if I don't go back and make sure that the garage door is down. And the only reason why I have dry, cracked red hands is because of you people. I have to wash them 50 times a day as I go from patient to patient. OCD is a chronic disabling anxiety disorder. If my obsessiveness is out here at the tips of my left hand, then OCD is out in the street over there, all the way out in the street over there. If being mildly anxious about giving a lecture for the first time in front of 100 people bothers me a lot, these folks, they worry about all kinds of things. They struggle with thoughts that they can't get out of their heads that are awful, frightening, disgusting, and terrible to them. Most of us would kind of look at them and go, huh? No big deal. It'll cause them to do strange behaviors and avoid things so common to each of us that we'll hardly think of it. But then there is getting out of the bathroom. Oh, yes. You know, most people don't wash their hands before they leave the restroom. Do you know that? Do you know how I know? I watch. That's right, yes. You know what that means? They go reach and grab the Doorknob, that's right, yes. So how I've washed my hands all that time while I'm counting my ABCs. You're supposed to go A, B, C, D, E, F, G, H, I, you know what I'm talking about, yes. And then I dry my hands, and then, of course, I take another paper towel. Right, yes. And I open the bathroom door with the paper towel. So, and it's so common that the most restaurants have now put the wastebasket in the corner by the door because they know if they don't, the guy will just throw the paper towel on the floor by the door, right? Yes, that's exactly what'll happen. Oh, but then consider Howard Hughes, who one night was out on a date with, I think, Greer Garson. You can translate that today, I think, beautiful Hollywood star. That would probably be a way to translate it. And he had to go to the restroom, and so he did. And he went in, and he went to the restroom, and then he washed his hands. And he would say, well, that's no problem. He just gets the extra paper towel, except they didn't have paper towels back then. They just had those funny machines on the wall that you pulled the cloth towel down with. You remember? Yes. And you can't get it out far enough to get it to the door. Yes. And so there wasn't anything that he could touch the doorknob with to get the door open with without contaminating himself, and he stayed in the restroom for an hour and a half while she waited at the table, wondering if he had died in the restroom, you know? And, of course, that was their last date. Yeah, she didn't go out with him again. Poor Howard lived and died that way. These people fear germs. They fear contact with other people. They fear awful thoughts. They fear things that are silly to us, like stepping on a crack in a sidewalk. I watched a lady on television once who never used her perfectly good hands to touch anything. She did everything with her feet. She had two very normal hands, but she picked up everything that she touched with her feet. She drove her car with her feet, and that's how she lived. They wash their hands, count the tiles on the floor, visit their doctors wanting one more test. Just one more test, doctor, because they fear that if they don't follow the obsession with the compulsion or the compulsive behavior, awful things will happen. They avoid contact with certain kinds of people because they fear that if they do touch them, something bad might happen. Some cannot put on certain kinds of clothes because of the way it makes their skin feel, and the list can go on and on and on. Now, the definition. Obsessive compulsive disorder is an anxiety disorder. Individuals who are identified with the problem are bothered with thoughts that they cannot dispel that we would call obsessions, and it disrupts life. Basically, it's a fear that if I either do a certain behavior or do not do a certain behavior, that awful things will happen. Invariably, the individual will say that they have had an awful thought and that the ritual gives them release from it for a while. Understand this, whatever their obsessions are, and some of them can be pretty bizarre, they don't do the obsession. You know, if they are obsessed with the idea that they're a homosexual, they will not practice homosexuality. But they'll wash their hands 1,000 times a day because they fear that if they don't, they will. That separates, you know, they might fear that they might kill somebody or that their hands have knife blades on them and if they touch people, they'll stab them to death. Now, they'll never stab anybody to death, but then again, they have to count the squares on the floor or put everything in a certain order so that that will not happen. And so that's an important thing to keep in mind. All right, now, so they have obsessions. What are those obsessions? Their obsessions center around the following things. Number one, fear of contamination and dirt. Now, these are people who can clean their houses for months and never get done. My wife and I are not obsessive compulsive about this. Well, we are just a little. We hired a house cleaning person. That's not obsessive compulsive, is it? We have a clean house, but it doesn't rule our lives. For these individuals, cleaning rules their life. They cannot do anything else. The rituals that will grow up around it will occupy all their time. Others have needs for order and symmetry. It's like putting my choir in order, except it's worse. Some folks hoard things or save things. It's sort of like the people who grew up or lived during the Depression, only worse. You know, I have a dear brother, elder, godly deacon friend, and we painted the outside of the church, and he's 85 or something like that, and he's over there cleaning $1 paintbrushes. You know, I mean, me clean a $1 paintbrush? I can't afford to clean a $1 paintbrush. Poof, it goes in the trash. And besides that, we probably won't paint the church for 5 years. So we're going to store these $1 paintbrushes that we're going to take 2 hours to clean. Now, I would never do that, but I did because I love him. And he's I didn't want to insult him. He's a dear saint. So I cleaned $1 paintbrushes for this guy. The kind of hoarding that we're talking about more is beyond that, actually. It's the kind of people who have, like, maybe this wide spaces that go all the way down through their house, and they can only be in certain rooms because the other rooms are stacked all the way to the ceiling with stuff. You read about them every once in a while. Every once in a while, one of them will die because they're crushed. You know, the stuff falls over. They can't escape, and they can't breathe, so they die right there. Hoarding and saving. Unacceptable sexual content. People who have unacceptable to them thoughts about sexuality, whether that be homosexuality, heterosexuality, child molestation, or whatever. Understand this, they will, you know, if this is an obsessive compulsive person, they'll never do what they're obsessed with. But again, they'll wash the hide off their hands and other parts in order to avoid the possibility that they would do this because they fear what will happen if they don't do the ritual. Then there are those who doubt that they did it. Did I really mail the house payment? What happens if I don't mail the house payment? I'm going to be homeless, you know. Or I didn't turn off the coffee machine in the morning, or I didn't unplug my hair dryer. There was a lady, a curling iron lady I read about, and she resorted to taking the coffee pot and the curling iron to work. That was the only way she could settle the issue, whether they were turned off. She took them with her to work. Then there are those who fear blasphemy. You know, they fear committing the unpardonable sin. You know, if I say something cursing the Holy Spirit, does that mean that I'm going to hell? And they think about it, and so then they have to do all kinds of ritual to avoid doing it. Others fear causing injury. You know, if I drive my car down the road and I hit a chuck hole, part of the rock might flip up, hit somebody along the side of the road, and kill them. Therefore, if I see a chuck hole, I have a ritual that I have to go through in order to deal with it. Others are afraid of certain kinds of numbers, unlucky numbers. Those are the obsessions. They are not the behaviors that they do. That's an important thing to keep in mind. Now, after that comes compulsions. Those are all in your notes, so I'm sorry I got behind. If I get behind, would you grumble or something? You guys don't get that, do you? No. Okay. Compulsions. This fearful thinking results in behaviors that are called compulsions. The individual believes that the behavior must be done to either avert disaster or gain relief from the excessive thinking. They are the obsessive thinking. Now, what are those compulsions? They are washing and cleaning. That's a compulsion. Putting things in the right order is a compulsion. The collection of stuff. The person who cannot go by the garage sale. I don't think that my wife's parents are obsessive compulsive, but boy, do they collect stuff. And I think their collecting probably is like my friends collecting. They just keep things. And the reason why they keep them is because they grew up in the Depression, and if you wanted something, you didn't throw anything away because you might need it someday in the future. All right, so they hoard or collect things.